again, my friends, and welcome to Wonderfilled Stories. I'm your host, Mr. Soul. Have you ever been stuck on a problem that just wouldn't budge? Like trying to push a door that says pull. Maybe a puzzle felt twisty and tricky, a school project turned your brain into a knot, or a problem kept doing the same old loop-de-loop in your mind. Sometimes a problem isn't that you're not trying hard enough, it's that we're trying the same way again and again. So what if we added a little dash of whimsy? What if you looked at a problem sideways or upside down, or imagined how a curious squirrel or a clever inventor or a time-traveling kid might solve it? Here's a secret worth remembering. Most brilliant people aren't always the smartest. They're often the most creative. They ask unusual questions. They try unexpected ideas. They aren't afraid to sound silly while searching for something new. When you think differently, your imagination flips on the lights. Hidden doors appear, and suddenly, click, the problem starts to make sense. So today, let's stretch our thinking, play with possibilities, and remember that your creativity is one of your greatest superpowers. So keep your eyes open for solutions unseen, but for now, it's time for Chapter 19. Chapter 19, Voodoo Curse. Saturday morning dawned with a red sunrise, filling the eastern sky with pinks and purples as it filtered through an emerging blue sky. Kai was the first awake in the fort. He sat in silence, wrapped in his sleeping bag, pondering the chaos of the night before. Jace and Davy began to show signs of life as they stretched and rustled in their sleeping bags. "Wow, what a sunrise," Davy said as he rubbed his eyes. His hair stuck out wildly in several directions, and dried spit was crusted around one side of his mouth. "You look like the Bride of Frankenstein," Jace teased as he gave Davy the first shoulder punch of the day. "You're not exactly Sleeping Beauty either," Davy quipped back. Kai spoke up out of his deep thoughts. "I think this money is making people crazy." "Yeah, last night was pretty wild," Davy responded. "But I guess that's the wildlife of the rich and powerful, am I right?" He smiled a toothy grin as he stood and yawned. "I think the money is cursed," Jace replied. "That's probably why it was used as cushion stuffing in the first place." "I don't know about curses," Kai said, "but it sure is bringing out the worst in people. I've heard stories about all sorts of voodoo devil magic that happened in that house," Jace explained. "That kind of evil rubs off on things." "We've all heard those stories," Kai responded, "but nobody actually believes that the old man was a voodoo master." "We don't know that he wasn't either," Jace continued. "There is one thing I do know. Only a few people know about this cursed cache, and all of them have become crazy monsters. My dad always said that money is the root of all evil. It probably sucked up all the bad spirits that were summoned in that house." "Do you hear how crazy you sound?" Davy asked. "The money isn't cursed. It's just complicated being rich."
"Well, it has ruined our lives, and I think that we should get rid of it," Jace proclaimed. "That's the only way to break the curse."
"What are you saying?" Kai questioned.
"We should burn it," Jace announced confidently. "We can do it in the fire pit, then douse the ashes with holy water."
"Burn it?" Davy cried. "You're out of your mind."
"Listen," Jace added in a reassuring tone. "I would love to keep the money, but it is ruining our lives. If it keeps going like this, we're going to have to leave the state for our own protection."
"Yeah, man, you've clearly jumped on the crazy train," Kai said. "You can burn your part if you want, but..."
"That's not how curses work," Jace interrupted. "If you don't destroy the evil completely, it will come back for more malevolence."
No, absolutely not," Davy shook his head. "You watch too many scary movies. We will never have an opportunity like this again. This money is special. We are special because we have it."
"Maybe the problem is other people's greed," Kai responded. We could get a big ammo box and bury it for a while, then tell everybody that we burned it. Forget other people, Davy erupted. This is our money. The argument erupted. If we don't burn it, the voodoo curse will grow, and if they think the money is gone, then we will be able to run around in my skivvies wearing a big hat made of cash, and misery and death will descend from the sky and infect the countryside, and we can return later to use it little by little, because after all, how much do you think a jetpack costs? The quarrel continued as the boys rolled up their sleeping bags, mounted their bikes, and left in separate directions. Davy's bike clattered to a stop outside his house, and he dropped it in the front yard as he bounded toward the front door. A styrofoam cup decorated with colorful marker designs sat on his front stoop. Candy overflowed from the top, and a message was scrawled on the side in black, "To Davy. From ?" Davy's face flushed as he scooped up the cup and peered at it in wonder. He had never received a Mayday basket before, and his imagination strained to figure out who could have given it to him. A rustle in some bushes across the street, followed by a cascade of giggles, broke him from his daydream. He looked up to see movement in low branches, but not in time to identify who was spying on him. He popped open the front door and pranced into his house, dropping his camping supplies next to the door. "Mom, I'm home," he called. The phone receiver clicked against the base in the next room, and his mom emerged, dabbing her eyes with a tissue. "Hey, buddy, how was your camp out?" She kissed Davy on the top of the head and moved to the kitchen. "Do you want some eggs?" "Yeah, that would be great, Mom." Davy had a gnawing concern growing in his stomach. "Who were you talking to?" "Oh, don't worry about that, baby boy." She cracked an egg into a small bowl and shook in some salt and pepper. "That was just the landlord. I'm trying to work things out again this month." She began to scramble the contents of the bowl with a fork. "I noticed there was a Mayday basket on the porch with your name on it." She tried to change the subject. "Oh, yeah, I found it." He set the decorated cup on the counter for his mom to see. "Did you notice the person who dropped it off?" "I'm afraid not," she responded. "The doorbell rang while I was on the phone. By the time I looked out the window, they had scampered off." Davy's mind was in a tug-of-war match with itself. He was concerned about his mom, but at the same time excited about being remembered with a Mayday surprise. "I'm happy for you, kiddo," his mom offered a tired smile. "It's nice to be remembered on the special day. Who knows? Maybe someone will leave me a Mayday cup like yours," she chuckled while stirring the eggs in the pan. Davy had a sudden idea, and he was amazed that it had never occurred to him before. He could leave his mom a Mayday basket. He ran into his bedroom, where six cups stuffed with candy were lined up on the corner of his dresser waiting to be delivered to his friends. He surveyed the selection and picked one decorated in orange squares. Dumping the candy onto his bed, he fished in his closet and emerged with a handful of cash. Stuffing it carefully into the cup, he slid out his bedroom and into the living room. "I have to pick up a shift at the store this afternoon," his mom called from the kitchen. "I know we had talked about going to the grand opening of the Elks pool, but we'll have to do it tomorrow. Is that okay, buddy?" "Yeah, Mom, that's cool." He slipped out the patio door and sprinted to the side of the house, careful to duck under the kitchen window. Moving along the side of the garage like a paratrooper navigating behind enemy lines, he rounded the corner and slipped to the front door. Dropping the cup stuffed with money on the front doorstep, he reached up and pushed the doorbell three times. The obnoxious chimes echoed through the door, and his mother's footsteps moved in his direction. Sprinting back the way he came, he breathlessly emerged from the patio door again in time to see his mom staring wordlessly down at the cup of cash on the front doorstep. Both hands covered her mouth as she tried to process what was happening. "What is it, Mom?" Davy asked with a smirk. She bent down and picked up the cup like she was lifting a newly hatched duckling. her mouth hung open in utter disbelief, and large tears began to drip from her eyes as she broke into a nervous chuckle. In a moment, the chuckle turned to laughter as she danced around the living room with tears of joy streaming down her cheeks. Davy joined her dance as he also found himself filled with exhilaration he had never experienced before. Plopping down in a chair, she dumped the cash on the table and spread the bills. Expertly flipping through the stack, she counted under her breath. "There's enough here for 2 months' rent. Did you see who put this there?" she asked, still searching for answers. Davy silently smirked, shook his head, and shrugged. "It must have been an angel. I filled out a prayer card at church last week, asking God to provide for our rent." She babbled in excitement. "It's amazing how people who have so much can easily be a blessing to someone whose needs require so little." Davy perked up. "What do you mean, Mom?" "Many people have so much extra in their lives, they can't even decide what to do with it all," she explained. "They buy things that they don't need and are bored silly living their convenient lives. At the same time, there are others who are desperately trying to make ends meet. For these people, there doesn't ever seem to be quite enough. There's always too much month left at the end of the money. What those with extra can't understand is that a small portion of the excess could change everything for those people who struggle." Davy began to have flashes in his mind of people who had needs that he'd never considered before. He thought of a boy whose winter coat had a large L-shaped rip in the back that left him exposed to the bitter winter cold. He remembered a girl at school who regularly had to watch other kids eat because she ran out of punches on her lunch card. He considered Miss Malum, who rode her bike to school for a month last fall because she couldn't afford to fix her car. The answer to what needed to happen to the money blossomed in his mind like a flower. He suddenly figured out a solution that would satisfy everyone, and he couldn't wait to share it with his friends. Sunday afternoon, Jace's phone rang, and he rushed to answer it. On the other end of the line were the voices of Kai and Davy. "Where are you guys?" he asked.
"We're both at home,"
they replied with a chuckle. "How are you on the phone at the same time if you're both at home?" Jace was confused.
"It's called a party line,"
Davy announced gleefully.
"Isn't it the coolest? The phone company is making it free for the summer,"
Kai explained.
"I guess they're trying to get everybody used to it and then charge for it in the fall."
"Good idea," Jace admitted. "This will be great for Secret Fortress meetings."
"On to another topic,"
Davy segued clumsily.
"Jace, you know how you think all money has an evil curse?"
"I didn't say all money has a curse," Jace defended his position. "This money is cursed."
"And you, Kai, think that we need to hide it from those who are hunting it down?"
Davy continued.
"As if hiding it will stop the jackals from sniffing around." "That is actually a good point,"
Kai conceded.
"So, what is the solution, you ask?"
Davy grew more dramatic, giving himself a drum roll by tapping his fingers on a nearby counter.
"We give it all away."
There was momentary silence on the other end of the lines.
"That is your solution?"
Kai asked.
"Weren't you the guy who wanted to make a hat made of cash? How did you come up with this idea?" "Think about it,"
Davy explained.
"We will use the evil money to do some real good in the lives of people who need it. Therefore, it will make the bad money into good money and break the curse."
"Okay, I can see that," Jace admitted. "But I thought you wanted a jetpack."
"I did, and I still do,"
Davy answered honestly.
"But I realized that the feeling I get from helping someone is way better than anything I could buy." "When did you help someone?"
Kai asked.
"Yesterday,"
Davy answered.
"I left a Mayday basket for someone who needed to pay their rent. I got to be the one who answered their prayers. It was amazing."
"Was that someone your mom?" Jace asked.
"That's not the point,"
Davy replied.
"The fact is, I have never been happier in my entire life." "Okay,
Let's say we do this.
Kai's planning brain kicked in.
How do we decide who to give money to?
We probably all know someone who is struggling, Jace interjected. We could form a committee and bring suggestions for missions.
Money missions,
Davy proclaimed.
I like it. I think I know the first person I will suggest for a money mission,
Kai admitted. Yeah, me too, Jace said excitedly.
So we're all in?
Davy couldn't believe it was so easy to convince his friends.
Yep.
All in. Davy was gleefully jumping in his kitchen.
Davy did good?
Yes, Davy did good. Jace smiled on the other line.
Davy did real good,
Kai admitted. Ta-da! And that's today's Wonderfield Stories. Before you scamper off, remember, you don't have to race to be remarkable. Big ideas like to wander, take their time, wiggle around a little bit, and surprise you when you least expect it. So feed your imagination, stretch your thinking, and don't be afraid to try something delightfully different. If you're hungry for more ideas and challenges and creative mischief, pop over to jasonsoul.com and join the Wonder Club. It's a clubhouse for curious kids and wonder seekers everywhere. Thanks for sharing this moment with us. Remember, choices made are choices lived with. Make good choices, you can live with good consequences, and not the other way around. Until next time, keep asking, keep imagining, and let your wonder lead the way.